Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, you're listening to the Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Jim Schmiedeberg, sitting shiva for the New York Giants. Joining me, as always, the widow Geik, who is
sitting shiva
for the New York Jets. Good evening, Ed. Happy New Year, as it were. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I hope yours was a happy and joyous celebration. After what I would deem a very disappointing season for both of our teams. So we must move on. We must march forward. And, you, perhaps, into back to playoffs. Be probably marching backwards. Be more buffoonery.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of post-mortem this week for obviously both teams. And, you know, the Giants, in typical Giant fashion, kind of, you know, they died on Sunday. You know, they went out in a blaze of glory. I'll give them that. They did what they had to do, at least for the final week of the season, pummeling the Philadelphia Eagles and sending Wally the Walrus off into the sunset, 42-7. But then quickly focus shifted to the Lions and Bears. Oh my! Because the Giants needed a loss by the Bears to keep their hopes alive. And Detroit was down by 10 at one point, and then they scored and were down by 3, and they just couldn't get it done. So at least it was a quick and fairly painless death on Sunday, you know, because I had visions of the Lions winning, and then the Packers would beat the Vikings, and then it was all going to hinge on that Redskins-Dallas game, and, you know, that game would go down to the wire, and then Dallas would kick a field goal to get in, and that was how I thought it was going to go down, something like that. But thankfully, I guess, the plug was pulled. There was a do not resuscitate, and the Giants season mercifully came to an end at 4:15. And again, just to wrap up the initial thought, quietly, you know, the Giants said a few things as they left the stadium on Sunday, got together for breakup day. You know, they were disappointed but optimistic for next season. Whereas the Jets, in typical Jet fashion, they died on Sunday, and ever since they're like Anna Nicole Smith. They've become even more of a circus in death than they were in life.
Exactly.
And on it goes. So, good evening to everyone in the chat room, and Eddie, let's get into it. We'll start with the Jets as we usually do.
Okay, well, I think it's kind of good that the Jets, you know, I was thinking about this when I was talking to you a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, isn't it a little too early for the Jets to be announcing, like, you know, Tebow isn't going to be back, and Sanchez is probably going to stay? And you were like, well, that's typical for football teams. And I kind of took your word, and I still believe you were right when, you know, you were thinking in your right mind when you were saying that. But it really showed me that the Jets, in these last couple games, they pretty much gave up when all that announcement was like, you know, it's like they laid down, which in a way is a good way. It's good because now they're going to probably get, I think, around like the 9th pick overall in the draft.
Right.
You know, who knows who's going to be the GM at the time. And now they're talking to the college scouting guy from the Giants. he's one of their guys they're thinking about getting?
Yeah, he's on a few people's lists, actually. Mark Ross, I think, is his name. He's
right.
on a few.
Is the guy with the paintings?
Yes. Yeah, that's him. With the big afro?
Yeah. Happy gone. So I'm going to paint a little happy tree here. So what do you know about this Mark Ross? Obviously, he's done some good with the Giants.
Well, you know, it's like success. You know, when you look at a team, an organization that's, or as they say in hockey, an organization that, you know, is perceived to be constructed well from top to bottom. Everybody wants to pick the tree when there's job openings. And, you know, that's why, you know, Bill Parcells, you know, so many of his assistants branched out into coaching jobs and Belichick and I don't know who else, Bill Walsh, you know, his tree still is out there in a matter of speaking, if you connect the dots. But you know, obviously the Jets, you know, they want to go after somebody who has some experience in a good organization, and the Giants are that. So, you know, this is part of I wish the Jets would take the defensive coordinator for the Giants. They want somebody to if they want to pick from the Giants tree. And I coached the same in the chat room. Atlanta's top scout is high on the Jets list too. Atlanta's another team people are going to always look to, at least right now, going to look to, you know, pick from their organization. Packers guys are always popular, you know.
Listen, they got to start somewhere. I mean, it's already been pretty much determined that Sanchez is going to be back next year. He's going to be the de facto starter unless somebody knocks him out. You know, I've heard different names, Matt Moore.
More like defunct.
What?
More like, not de facto, more like de facto.
Well, it's funny. You know, I listened to ESPN radio, and I think it was Friday before the games this Sunday. Don LaGreca was talking about how he's sick and tired of hearing Jet fans say that Sanchez is a buffoon and that a high school quarterback could do better. And he says, I understand that Sanchez is doing bad, but he certainly doesn't have the weapons. And listen, Don LaGreca, I love him. He's a hockey guy. You know, he's very, I think I value his opinion. You know, a lot of times I pretty much echo what he says. I'm like 99%. But he couldn't be more wrong when it comes to Sanchez. Sanchez is a bum.
I get what he's trying to say. And he's trying to be he's trying to go against the grain a little bit with his opinion, but we're talking about a guy that's turned the ball over 50 between 50 and 60 times by himself in the last two seasons. Weapons.
Right.
I don't care if he's got Randy Moss in his prime, Jerry Rice in his prime, and Michael Irvin in his prime, with Barry Sanders in the backfield. The man ran into his own offensive lineman's tuchus and fumbled the ball.
Colson says he can't play in New York. I don't think he can play in Walnut Grove with Mrs. Olson and Mr. Olson. This guy, Nelly, hiking them all up. I mean, he's horrible.
It might be our first Little House on the Prairie reference ever on this show.
Yes. Now, I think he is so done. And the way he reacts to it, he's like a Stepford wife. He's just so in line. He never gets emotional. He never gets a little pissed off on the sideline. It's weird. And the whole Tebow disaster, I mean, that's just been so played out, but that's just, that was just terrible. I mean, so I think Sanchez will certainly be the highest paid backup, maybe next to that guy Matt Flynn up in Seattle, maybe, or one of those dudes who, you know, people are saying the Jets may get, but they certainly don't have the Fishnagels. He's another hockey reference, to go out and get somebody like that. I think they'll get somebody, a stopgap guy. You know, Rex clamored to reportedly, now the Tannenbaum has been fired. This just in, Tannenbaum has been fired. I had like 12, 13 years in the organization. And has been Soprano been fired yet? Tony Soprano?
He has not. He's being let, well, and he's left dangling. And that's kind of what I was talking about with this circus that's going on. I mean, here you've got a head coach who, let's face it, the guy loves to talk to the media. He loves to stand up at that podium and pontificate and talk. And now all of a sudden on Monday, the GM gets fired and Rex is hiding in his office.
Yeah.
Rex won't come out. And there's some speculation. I don't know what you make into it, but there's some speculation that maybe he's hiding out because maybe he's not as secure as Woody Johnson has led him to believe.
No, I think it's a case of when you're a blowhard and now you really have nothing to say. I mean, I don't have documentation of this, but I think we all can agree this is one of the most embarrassing 6-10 season ever to lace them up. it was embarrassing to be a Jet fan, and when you're embarrassed, and like we said on national TV multiple times, in the press, everybody's talking about how bad the Jets are. Meanwhile, there's teams that have 2 wins, 3 wins. Nobody cares about that. It's just how bad the Jets look every week. How bad their offense is. Look at this mistake. I mean, you're talking, and I think when you're a blowhard and you have nothing to say, I mean, it took a long time for him to realize he was a fool to keep on, you know, saying everything's sunshine and rainbows. And now finally, I mean, this season was a mess. I mean, everything has got to be rethought and reassessed, and, you know. And I hear a lot of Jet fans and LaGreca was all saying, well, you know, the Jets defense really played well this year. I don't buy that. Because, once again, they weren't able to find a pass rusher. Two, they played the worst schedule in the second half of the season. I mean, they played, I mean, losers after losers. I mean, we saw when they met high-powered offenses, the New England's, you know, what happened then? The Dolphins. I mean, really, they didn't play quality for me to say that, oh, wow, what a season Cromartie had, you know. And a lot of people saying, well, why doesn't Cromartie play this well when Revis is there? You know, because Cromartie didn't have a good season, you know, against the teams he played. But it's hard for me to give credit to any portion of this team, really. I mean, the defense played with heart. The fact that the defense knew it was going to be on the field the most of the game and that their offense could not sustain any kind of time possession, that they, you know, I give them credit for that. But I'm not going to start, you know, I think the Jets were rated like in the top 12. They're probably like 10th or 11th in team defense. I'm not about to herald them like, well, you know, a great Jet defense. You know? So, because it's almost like you're dealing with an expansion team here, because now you got to come in with a whole new philosophy. You can't, the ground and pound, Rex, sorry, buddy, it's over. You, in this NFL, you got to pass. If you can't pass, you're done. You need to run. You need to supplement the run. And you need to play defense. So they're going to have a lot to work on. Sean Green, bye-bye. It's just going to be a whole new thing. But like you said, the circus continues. You get bonus coverage. season's ended, and it just continues. You know, with just and then Tebow doesn't even show up to the team meeting at the end of the. He's like, I mean, this guy is Mr. Religious, Mr. Do the Right Thing. He was like, I'm even out of here. I'll pay my penance somewhere else. I ain't sticking around for this shit. I mean, come on. So, it looks like he may be head over to Jacksonville.
Great.
That's going to work out.
Hey, Tim, Coach wants to see you. It's time for the end of the year meeting.
Yeah. He's out of here. It was his longest run of the year.
Just a mad dash out of Shea Stadium. You want to. Now, this is kind of a weird. I was looking at the defense stats page. And yeah. What's strange is that the Giants were bad defensively and gave up almost 383 yards a game. The Jets gave up 323 yards a game. And you were right, the Jets are ranked right about eighth in overall defense. But the Jets defense actually gave up more points per game than the Giants did. But that's because Sanchez was always turning the ball over, although, you know, So the teams were starting. They don't have, like, what the average if I really wanted to go looking for it, it's probably somewhere. What the average field position start was. But how many times did you see Sanchez turn the ball over in his own red zone? You know, how many times did teams start, you know, get a turnover and start with on the Jets' 20-yard line or 25-yard line? You know,
and the Giants had those two really horrific games, you know, in week 15 and 16 when they gave up a lot of points. And the Jets had that stretch with San Francisco. They had a lot of, like, they gave up 40 points, like, in four or five games. But you're right. I think a lot of Jets points, and I'm sure, I mean, there were a lot of defensive touchdowns by other teams against the Jets. I mean,
yeah, but I don't even know if those count defensive points per game. I'm just talking about Sanchez turned the ball over at the 12-yard line, and the Patriots go 12 yards for a touchdown. You know, that counts.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I could find that somewhere.
Yeah.
But
I'm not that interested.
Yeah, nobody is. Nobody's even looking at that stat. You know. I don't know what you could, you know, I don't know how much hope there is for a Jet fan going to next season with, you know, with Mark Sanchez in the organization, you know. And I mean, how could you not think, I mean, sometimes you are proven wrong in football, but usually, especially in the New York, we pretty much have a pretty good pulse on what's going on. I mean, you know, when you saw Danny Cannell, you know he kind of sucked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You didn't know. It wasn't like, you know, he may have some upside. He may rebound. You know he sucked. And I just see Sanchez as a bum. He can't complete a pass. He was again under 550%. He cannot. The passes he throws are so off the mark, it's ridiculous. I don't know how he's lost it. People say, oh, he needs a controlled offense. I want a guy that could adapt. You know, I want a guy who could check down. And I know they had a lot of injuries. Surely Dustin Keller really hurt them because in a pinch, you can really just go to your tight end. You see quarterback and tight end, see if they have that special relationship where, you know, you can get the yardage and really pound it. They weren't unable to do that all year. And you know, Santonio Holmes, even him, it's, I don't know, I can't, you know, the whole philosophy, I think offensively, the Wildcat's got to be scrapped. The Wildcat doesn't work. It's to me, really, they got to go from the ground up now. And Rex Ryan, it'll be interesting to see if Rex Ryan embraces the change or just goes back to being, you know, the only thing he knows is good defense and running. But he needs to get an offensive coordinator who is going to be, you know, it's going to have to be able to be. I mean, they say all Jets, you know, wide receivers, they can't get separation and this and that. What is going on? They're the only team in the league that can't get any separation? I mean, the whole game? I don't know. I just believe that the whole organization is rotten to the core, really. And now, listen, I was a Rex. If you would have talked, and you probably can go back to it. I was a Rex supporter, but this season, not because of his mouth or his being a blowhard and everything, but the fact that he was delusional enough to think this was the best team he's ever coached, which you want to reckon the same. Then the lack of making adjustments, sticking with Sanchez for so long, never teaching Tebow the play, the commitment to the ground and pound when, frankly, you know, it just wasn't working. It just seemed like he was out of touch. And I also don't like his choice of people that he brings in, the players. I mean, you know, Braylon Edwards being the, you know, the icing on the cake. Again, troublemakers, discontents, malcontents. He continues to bring this bad attitude in. He seems to embrace it. Like, you know, the whole bad boy thing. And
Bart Scott.
All these guys. He's got to bring in, like, you know, problems. That's when I heard that Michael Vick rumor go, you know, last week. I mean, I nearly had an embolism. I mean, that guy is the, quintessential bad guy. First of all, he's got 30 concussions, and he's a dog killer. I mean, give it a break.
And if you watched any of the Giants game on Sunday, that's not Michael Vick anymore. He can't run like he used to. He doesn't throw like he used to. And he's a jerk. And I'm not even talking about why he went to jail, which is a whole nother. I could rant for a half an hour on that piece of shit about what he did to got him. He's another bad character in the locker room. He called out the offensive line coach 2 weeks ago. The coaching's all wrong for my style of play. He's a piece of garbage, and he's washed up. Those 2 years of getting butt fucked at Leavenworth took their toll.
Wasn't he MVP 2 years ago, though?
Euthanize him. That's what I say. Take him to the ASPCA and let them put him down.
Ah, come on. You always take it too far. You always take it too far.
There's no ending to that man's life that could be
unoptimized.
Let me ask you a question. Since you mentioned the ground and pound, and you used the term grunt and punt.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that, or did you read that somewhere?
No, I made that up.
Well, then I'd like to say hello to a listener out there, Jeff Sabino. How you doing, Jeff? Thanks for listening. This was in Phil Mushnick's column today. Hey, let's stop piling on the Jets right after this one. Reader Jeff Sabino writes that what the Jets presented as ground and pound was really the grunt and punt.
Wow.
Actually, that was in his column last week.
I
read it today. I was catching up on my Phil Mushnick.
Yeah, he's good.
I love it because he hates
it. Sitting on this show, figure, you know, the grunt and punt, that made more sense to me. Who knows? You know, we've been ripped off so many times, Jim, in the 5 years we've been on the air.
We got nothing left.
We got nothing left. I'm thinking Holy Manoli, Cannoli, Stromboli, Chris Campoli.
Yeah.
Then we know we're really being ripped off.
Yeah. When Al Troutwig's interviewing Monty Hall in between periods, whenever the Rangers play again. They ever put Monty Hall on MSG? No. Has Monty Hall been on our show? You're goddamn right he has.
I see a lot of the Ranger fans have come in today.
Yeah, I see that.
They must be seeing my posts on Facebook about hockey.
Yeah. That's another, speaking of the Rangers, 20 years, you never heard the name Emil Francis mentioned on a broadcast or anything having to do with the Rangers. Never. He was persona non grata. Then he comes on Blue Shirt Banner Radio three times. Three times he was on our show. And all of a sudden, he's a hero at Madison Square Garden again. He's narrating this. He's narrating that. They're interviewing
he's
him.
The
they're showing him on TV. We did for we brought Emil Francis back the way Howard brought George Takei. We resurrected
him. Exactly. Give him a whole career.
And now we won't answer our calls. That's not true. I just figured that three times we'd heard those stories. After the third time we'd heard them all, that was probably enough.
He's got enough to worry about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he really does. Come on. His wife hid the phone on him. But, Happy New Year to you, Howie. And Happy New Year to everybody. I gotta tell you.
Happy
you
New
know,
Year, you bastards.
Happy New
you.
Year, you bastards.
Good night, everybody.
I guess, you know, with the Jets, where do you start? I mean, it just...
Well, my question is...
Well, let me ask you this, and I know right, you're a little bit biased, by the way. Do you think Rex Ryan deserved to be fired after this season? If you look at his whole body of work.
I think you could have made a case for firing him, and I think you can make a case for keeping him. If you look, what's really strange is that if you look at the last four seasons of New York football, the Giants have, I think, 47 regular season wins, and the Jets have 45.
Yeah, but
and that includes the two Super Bowl seasons for the Giants. I mean, it's so freaking bizarre. But if you look, you could make a case either way. My question is, now you've fired the GM. Now you're going to go out and look for another GM because you're not going to hire somebody in-house. You want to go in a new direction. Well, how does a GM... How do you bring in a GM to go in a new direction with the same old coach? Who's a lightning rod? I mean, I don't know. I don't really. I think the Jets have put themselves in a very bad position here.
Right. Well, that's true.
If you're gonna go get like one of these young guys, like a Dimitroff, I think is the guy in Atlanta, the young GM that they have, or a Scott Pioli in Kansas City, you know, one of these young guys, like a Theo Epstein type guy in football, that's going to come in and revitalize your entire program. He doesn't want to do it with a coach that's been in house for 4 years. I think that makes for a very difficult situation.
Yeah, he's not going to be as flexible.
If you didn't want to change the coach, I think they might have been better off keeping Tannenbaum, but bringing in someone else to make personnel decisions and leaving Tannenbaum to what his specialty was, which is contracts and cap negotiation, things of that nature. Because I just don't see how what the Jets appear to be doing, I don't see how it's going to work. I mean, if you go out and get an old-school GM like a Bill Polian, he don't want to come in there and deal with Rex Ryan. And a young guy wants to completely start over and build the Jets in his image, not Rex Ryan's.
Yeah, I think New York Ranger fan in New Jersey, I think he's got it right. This is a free year for the new GM. If he fails miserably, Rex will get the blame, and the new GM will clean house. So that's what I think. It's probably what's on their mind.
But then why not just fire Rex? Why bother? Why waste a year? This team can't be rebuilt in a year. I mean, really? Well, they're Rome. They weren't built in a... I mean, really, how many... Okay, you're going to get a healthy Santonio Holmes back, assuming the Jets bring him back. Okay? You're going to get Darrell Revis back healthy. But they still don't have a quarterback. Who else is going to catch the ball besides Santonio Holmes? They've got holes on the offensive line. They do have some defensive weaknesses to be addressed. Yeah, they're going to have that high draft pick, but you only get seven of them.
Well, there is a school of thought that the Jets should try to trade Revis and get, you know, and if they can get draft picks for him, I mean, you know, some number ones, I'd say do it, because what's the sense? Revis is the guy you want on a team that's on the cusp, that can, you know, really put you in the Super Bowl position. I mean, he's not going to see any playoff football. I mean, the Jets, granted, I think are in a very weak division. Other than New England, the other three teams suck. The other two teams suck. So it's four games right there. But I don't know. I just think that, you know, maybe the trading Revis would be the good thing if they can get something back for him. I mean, you can't have the best player in football on one of the worst teams. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, at his position. I mean, certainly, you know, Z are one of the best at his position.
But
it's kind of useless.
But the other problem with that is that you're talking about a guy that's injured. So his value is down. He's not as valuable now as he was. I mean, if you're going to trade Revis, you got to wait until camp. You got to wait until he's sure that he's healthy. Got to wait. People want to see that he could still run as fast as he could last August.
I agree, but I think you can't. You're right. I still think people would love to have Darrell Revis.
No doubt. Oh, sure, of course. But are you gonna? If you're the GM, okay. Let's say you're the GM of the Giants, and you make the call to the Jets and say, let's talk a deal for Darrell Revis. Are you going to give Darrell Revis as much right now as you would have last September?
No.
Of course
not. You're right on it.
And that's the problem. That's the other problem with that.
How about Revis and Corey Webster straight up?
Oh, I don't know. Corey Webfoot? God. Goodbye. $7 million. Get out of here, you bum.
Well, I think that's the transition I was looking for. What is to be done with the 9-7 Giants?
9-7 gets you a Super Bowl T-shirt this year. Get you home.
Yeah, I mean, just a. I don't know. What happened?
What happened?
I think he called it. I really think, Jim, you were on the mark the whole season. People who really want to know what's going on with the Giants and on the – you should have listened to Jim all year. He knew it. He said it every week. I can just tell you, you know, I don't know what the feeling is on Eli, but I felt like this guy was under such pressure knowing that he had no defense, that he had to make big plays on every play. I think he suffered from that.
I would agree with that. I've said that. I think he knew that. I think he felt like every time they went on the field, they had to score, because their defense couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah, I certainly think that. I could see it. It was like, you know, it wasn't like they could methodically go down the field. It felt like he had to make big plays all the time. Because, frankly, they were down a lot. Well, you know, they knew that they were going to be down a lot. So, I don't know. I think that affected the whole mindset of the team. And I don't know what the hell happened to that defense.
It wasn't that good to begin with. I mean,
but I won the Super Bowl the year before.
Let's talk turkey here, okay? Now, obviously, you and I started this. You and I got into this relationship. What do they call it now? Commitment ceremony. This civil union that we've had now going on 5 years. We got into it because of hockey, and I love hockey, and I love to, you know, I love the Rangers and everything. But football's my that's my number one. Football's the sport that I like to think I know the best. I can watch, you know, I love to watch hockey, but I don't always know the nuances, the X's and O's. I don't, you know, I still don't know what made Chris Drury such a great player, but that's another story. But when I watch football, okay, I like to think I know what I'm looking at and I know what I'm talking about. I don't always feel like an I don't always feel like I know what I'm talking about with hockey. Football, I know what I'm talking about.
I felt like Jim Gordon with you. I mean, I felt like Bill Chadwick with Jim Gordon this year when he was football. It was like knowing you was like going to college. Like, you really do know so much about the New York Giants. It's almost frightening. And
nobody knows what I know.
I also didn't realize that I know more about hockey than you. So
absolutely,
my ego was not affected.
Absolutely,
I'm only kidding. So,
you know,
when you talk Giant football, to me, it's the gospel.
I said from the beginning of the season, this defense wasn't that good, and this defense wasn't that good last season. This defense just got hot at the right time, and they steamrolled. You look at the body of work of this defensive coach, Perry Fuel, who apparently will retain his job unless God shines on the Giants and finds this man a head coaching job somewhere. Because for some reason, I'm told he's a hot candidate. Why, I don't know. But, I mean, his attitude as this team has slumped, well, I'm teaching them right, they're not playing right, and I don't like his attitude. It sounds to me like he's just trying to cover his keister on the way out the door. And good riddance to you. But this defense hasn't played well all year. They weren't that great last year. Justin Tuck apparently is still in their future plans. Well, you say that now, but a couple months down the road, anything can change. But for God's sakes, this team has not drafted an impact linebacker since Jesse Armstead, who I believe was drafted in 93 or 92. I can't remember what year he was drafted. And they got lucky with Jesse Armstead. They drafted him in the last round of the draft out of the University of Miami because he had a knee problem in college, and everybody was scared. So the Giants just grabbed him in the last round, and he turned out to be their best linebacker throughout the 90s. He was a hell of a player. But since then, they have not drafted one impact linebacker. They've had a few decent free agents. Michael Brooks comes to mind. Carlton Bailey had a couple of good years for them. Michael Boley's been okay, but he's also had some health problems. But this team just shuffles in these fifth and sixth round linebackers and guys off the street. Keith Rivers, they were so excited to have this guy from Cincinnati. Did he make a tackle all year? Half the year he was hurt again. They've got to draft an impact linebacker. Take Mathias Kiwanuka, put him back on the defensive line where he belongs, where he wants to be, and go find draft linebackers. Don't try and get lucky in the fifth and sixth round. Draft a stud. This team has a history of terrific linebackers, and now we've got these bums that come out here every week. I mean, just terrible. And I think it's their biggest weakness. They can't. The Giants have to depend on four pass rushers, and because they can't blitz the linebackers because A, they're not that good, and they don't want to get exposed in the middle. Jason Witten caught 20 passes in one game. 20 passes. Because they don't have any linebackers that can cover. And tackle, missed tackle after missed tackle. The linebacking, oh, for God's sake, Santa, bring me some linebackers. Monica Harry, Get me some linebackers. They need Corey Webster's got to go. He's going to be. There's no way they're going to pay him $7 million to come back next year. They'll take their chances with the princess. Maybe Terrell Thomas comes back healthy and he could be a player again. They got a couple of guys that they drafted last year that might come back. I'm sure they'll look for another corner in the draft this year. But I don't know. That's where it starts.
All right. Well, so I like how you're complaining that they haven't drafted linebackers. Meanwhile, the Jets haven't drafted anybody in the last 20 years. You get to be specific there.
I'm out of breath. They kept me working. The number if you want to call in, I see books is already called in just a second. I don't know what's going on with Justin Tucker. The NYR fan is talking about it. He's still in future plans. I don't know. I still think he might retire. I think that possibility exists. He can go be the next Michael Strahan.
What about Ahmad Bradshaw? What about young David Wilson who came on at the end of the year?
Well, David Wilson, obviously, you know, he's going to be a good player for them, you know, providing he stays healthy, which is always a big if with a running back. I think he'll be a good player for them for a long time. I don't see how much longer Ahmad Bradshaw can keep up this pace. He did get 1,000 yards. But, I mean, they've got to be the hardest 1,000 yards anybody's ever run. I mean, this guy, he's going to look like Grady from the Sanford and Son by the time he's 35. I mean, his body has taken an absolute beating in the 5 years he's been in the league. But if Andre Brown comes back healthy, then they got, you know, a three running back rotation they could use, take some of the pressure off Ahmad Bradshaw.
I just think the Giants never got that running attack that they needed in order to take enough clock off, you know, enough, just control the game a little bit more. They never seemed to control the game.
Right. It was never a sustained rushing attack. They never dominated the line of scrimmage. Very rarely did they, where you really felt like their offensive line was dug in and they were controlling the line of scrimmage, where they were just pounding the ball, you know, 4 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards. You know, a lot of times it'd be a 1 yard run, then there'd be a 5 yard run, then there'd be a loss of 2 yards. Then they'd break off a 19 yard run to kind of even out the stats, you know what I mean? But it was never
right.
That sustained, just keep ground and pound, you know.
Well, they just needed the other team to be worried about the running backs enough so they could really exploit the defenses with their wide receivers and their tight ends.
Right.
How do you grade Martellus Bennett this year?
I like Martellus Bennett. I thought he had a good season. What did he wind up with? Between 50 and 60 catches, I think. I have no complaints about him. I know the Giants weren't particularly crazy about his blocking, despite what Chris Collinsworth was trying to say. Or was it Chris Collinsworth or Moose Johnson? I think it was Moose Johnson, either in the Baltimore game or maybe the week before that, was saying, oh, the Giants brought him here because they love his blocking. No, they didn't. They hate his blocking. They still hate his blocking. That's why I hate announcers. They, you know, these guys, these football, some of them, they don't really pay attention to the team. They just kind of, they go by what they see on one play and then make something up, and because they say it, they figure you'll believe it. It's another thing Phil Mushnick says. Believe what I tell you, not what you see.
Exactly.
You know, I don't care. If the guy's going out and catching 60 passes, I don't really care if he blocks that well. Let somebody else
do the block. He seemed to kind of, I don't know if this was a result of his blocking, but there was a period of like four games where they really weren't using him much. He got off to a really good start, and then it was like, well, I guess maybe that was because they weren't happy with his blocking, but he seemed to make a lot of big catches for them. I don't know. I'd give him definitely a B at least on the season.
I would agree. He was, a B is about right. He was banged up mid-season as well.
What about Victor Cruz? What do you give him?
Victor Cruz.
He was a darling coming into the season.
Proved he was no fluke. Like some said he would be. Quelling, quieting, dispelling some of the opinions others had of him.
Yes, no doubt. Great speech.
Dropped way too many passes this year. Too many easy passes. Last year he made some incredible catches. This year he dropped some real easy passes. I think a little of the celebrity got to him a little bit here and there. You know, he's out salsa dancing here, he's salsa dancing there, he's on this TV show, he's at this nightclub. You know, I think it was a little too much of that. Maybe not enough focus on football. And I think he admitted to that at some point in the season. But overall, his numbers were good. He was right on, I think he hit 1,000 yards again. I don't remember what his overall numbers for the year were.
Seven touchdowns, seven or eight maybe.
Seven salsa dances. Couple when they were losing.
How you like David Wilson continues to do that. I don't know what he's doing with the Flip Wilson shit when they're losing. Or even they're winning.
Let me just, here. 86 catches this year, 82 last year. But
okay.
1,500 yards last year, 1,000 yards this year.
Ooh.
96 yards a game last year, 68 yards a game this year. Here's the big number. 25 catches last year for 20 yards or more, only 12 this year. 9 catches last year of 40 yards or more, and only 3 this year. So he wasn't getting open deep for whatever reason. He wasn't getting open deep as much as he did last year, but he wasn't sneaking
up on anybody. He may have been seeing more attention.
Right. He wasn't sneaking up on anybody this year either.
Right.
So, but I can't really complain about his numbers, but I still don't like the drops. I think he drops the ball too much. Still the fastest guy on the team. I wish they'd find a few more ways to use him. End arounds here and there, or direct snaps. I don't know. Get a little creative. I know that's not in the Giants' mission statement, or certainly not in Tom Coughlin's, but. They haven't had a fake punt in 20 years. I don't think they've had a fake punt since the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl.
It's true. Well, meanwhile, the Jets will get completely gadgety and, you know, screw the whole thing up. But sometimes being safe is kind of good. You know? But, yeah, then, you know, it's... what about Hickson? Where are you on him?
I like him, but he's another guy that can't seem to stay healthy. He'll probably get eased out next season. I think Ruben Randall will take over that number 3 spot, a wide receiver, and then they've got some other options. I don't think Hickson. I'd be surprised if Hickson was with the team next year.
And I guess it's my last query for you, as far as the offense goes. Now I see that New York Rangers fan of New Jersey is making, which is not is I've heard this before from Giant fans, is Kevin Gilbride. Now I am in the feeling that the Jet fans screamed to get Schottenheimer out of there, and they wound up with Sparano. So be careful about what you wish for. But can they do better than Kevin Gilbride? Or do we scapegoat offensive coordinators too easily just because we see, you know, a second and long and they decide to run up the middle. I mean, that seems to be everybody's, like, pet peeve about an offensive coordinator.
Here's my thing about Kevin Gilbride is that Kevin Gilbride is the only offensive coordinator Eli Manning's ever known with the Giants. Obviously, he's very comfortable in Kevin Gilbride's offense. You know, this team can obviously put up a lot of points and has a lot. And that's the bottom line. So why would you, do I agree with everything Kevin Gilbride calls? No, of course not. I'm a fan. That's my job. Just like I say on the Rangers show. That's my job. It's my job to complain. I do it well. But, you know, for the most part, you're talking about a team that can score a lot of points. Was it the play calling that really hurt them, or was it the execution this year? Because it's the same play calling. This offense hasn't really changed. You know, for the most part, they're running the same plays. You know, coaches will tell you, if you run a play, if you execute a play the way it's supposed to be executed, even if the defense knows it's coming, if you execute it right, it'll work. I mean, we've seen the Giants put up a lot of points on good defenses. You know, the 49ers, they put up a lot of points on 23 touchdowns, I think they scored against the Niners.
No, I mean, they had some big games offensively. I mean, Carolina game and the Green Bay game, right? They spent some points in that game. I mean, I don't know how you, I mean, from a Jet point of view, I know it's like, you know, bottom of the barrel, like, but the offense, it seems to, you know, they've got it together offensively. I mean, the only problem with the Giants that I would be is that the first halves usually are not like, you know, they don't come out like gangbusters. They need to maybe that. You know, I just think you could do so much worse. And now you have a guy who's a proven winner. I mean, he's won. Coming into this year, anybody would have really traded offenses with the Giants. I mean, you know, maybe not. I don't know. I really can't think of too many, other than like New England, who spreads the ball around for an eternity, and Atlanta, who's got now two bona fide receivers. But I don't know. To me, the Giants. Maybe I'm not as spoiled as some of you Giant fans are, but I don't see too much. I don't. You know, the honeymoon is marathon's been on. Hurston Bay.
Hurston Bay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't notice the play calling. I noticed that the execution, like you had mentioned, was the problem a lot of the times. You know, I don't know. It just seems when you can't relax when you're on offense and you need to score points, you need to put up 30, 35 a game to win, that your whole mindset is screwed up. You know?
Right. No, absolutely. All right, you want to talk to Costa, and we'll talk about the picks, and then we'll get the hell out of here.
Sounds good.
And we do have a Blue Shirt Underground radio show scheduled for, I think, Tuesday next week. I think that's what I
said.
Okay.
So,
yeah, there you go. And we might have more information on what's going on by then. So, all right. Costa, what's up?
Yeah, how you doing, sir? Stars.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it too soon to talk draft talk or not, or too soon?
I haven't done any studying on the draft as of yet. So, if you're talking about specific players, no.
Let me ask you this, Jim.
All right.
What are the needs? What do you feel are the needs going into the draft?
Did you not hear my 10-minute rant about linebackers?
Oh, linebacker. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's
that guy from Notre Dame?
Well, I saw you guys talking about him in the chat, but see, the opinion seems to be that he'll be gone by 19. Or maybe you trade up if you want him that bad. The Giants do like guys from Notre Dame. They like guys from good academic schools.
And Eddie, what about you? Need.
Where do I begin? I think you got to have a running back. But they certainly...
There's not much in this draft this go around as far as running backs from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, but running back's not like it used. You don't have to get your running back in the first round anymore.
Exactly.
Look at Alfred Morris.
Right. Look at Ahmad Bradshaw. You know, your running back doesn't have to be your first round pick like it used to be.
I think just need a pass rusher.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. The continual search for a pass rusher we could spend more decades in trying to get one.
There's a lot of good defensive prospects in this draft. A lot of good ones. A lot of good ones I'm seeing so far.
The Jets may go that way because in order to compete, they're going to have a stellar defense. Because the offense is not getting it done.
Let me ask you this, Eddie. Do you go for a quarterback in the later rounds or no? Because there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the second and the third round. So if you want, you think they should maybe take a chance on a quarterback like this guy from NC? You got a guy from NC State. You got a guy from Arkansas.
I think the Jets should somehow find, let the Sanchez thing run its course and then either trade or sign a quarterback. I don't think the Jets are capable of developing a quarterback. that's how I feel. How long do I got to wait? I mean, really? I mean, the Browning Nagels. I can go on and on.
Ray Lucas.
Bennington, Sugar Ray Lucas. I've seen them all come down the pike. Nothing.
Kellen Clemens.
Clarence Clemens. They're all these guys. They just never pan out.
Jim, do you make a run for Rogers Cromartie or no?
No.
Okay.
No. Nope.
So, I mean, are you laughing at the Jets from afar reading all this stuff, or you feel bad for them, Costa?
Why would anybody feel bad for the Jets?
It's a New York team. I mean,
I feel bad for the fans, some of them.
The problem starts with the fucking owner. That's where it starts. When the owner's saying, I care more about Mitt Romney women than just winning a Super Bowl, that should tell you something right there.
Yes, that's true.
And if you give this team any money, you're a friggin' idiot. You are an idiot. If you give this team any money,
what are you? You mean that? Anybody, you mean like if you spend any money on a shirt?
I got to do some research on that because I've done my research on the NHL, and I know if you buy a Rangers shirt from, say, Modell's, they don't see a dime of that because you got to understand one thing. If Modell's is buying a Rangers T-shirt, they're probably paying $5, and then you pay $20 retail. So the store makes 300% profit. Now if it's the same thing with the NFL, then I see no problem doing that. But if you're stupid enough to get a PSL and buy season tickets, then you deserve all the pain and agit and aggravation. You deserve that. You deserve it.
I agree with you. Big question to me is, We'll fire him and Ed be back next year. Hey, you notice you're putting the curb thing, but did you notice that they were playing the they were showing like a Jets, you know, like Follies reel, and they were playing like circus music, and I was like, I think I was listening to this show too with the yakety yak, yakety sax song we played, the Benny Hill theme. But, yeah, there's a lot of fools running around with Tebow Jet shirt and jersey. Running into his ass.
I'd use a Tebow Jet jersey for a jizz rag.
And on that note, Costa, we'll talk to you next time.
All right. I'll see you guys next week for the Blue Shirt Underground.
Sounds good.
We'll
see you then.
I got some material, Joe.
Good Lord. It's the last thing I want to talk about.
Well, we discussed before the show about Kreider. We could do 20 minutes on that.
Of course. All right. Well, Eddie, you did. We had you do 4 picks last week to try and catch you up, try and get you to 500.
Home doesn't bode well.
What is going on with the audio here tonight? Anyway, you went 3-1.
Oh, I'm surprised.
So you finished 19-21-4 on the season. I also went 3-1 and finished the season at 25-14-4.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Pretty good record. Not bad. Not bad at all. All right. Well, I guess that about wraps it up. And I have to go tend to my daughter, who's making all kinds of noise out in the living room.
All right, so we'll talk hockey Tuesday, and I hope you'll join us. I had a great first year here at the Blue Shirt Green. I mean, the Blue Green Big Bang Blue Green Flower Power Hour, whatever we call in this show. I had a great year here, and I hope it blossoms into a bigger Power Hour. Next
How could it not?
How could it not? Everything we touch turns to gold.
Of course. All right,
but,
everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Good night, everybody.
See you next week. Good night, everybody.
Happy New Year.